Today's scripture reading is taken from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. Verse 1, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into his grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ. First, I'd like to thank all of you for your kind welcome and hospitality you've shown to my family and I in the past 2.5 years we've been with you. I'm truly grateful for all your prayers and support for my continued studies at Trinity Theological College. And it's my joy and privilege to bring to you God's Word today. Before we begin, let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, you are always with us. Open our hearts to receive the truth of your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Today is the first Sunday of Advent, and we begin this time on a hopeful note. It's a time of waiting for Christmas to come, and we are also reminded that we are waiting for Christ's second coming. Some may wait with hope and optimism. However, many may be waiting in despair. The 2023 Ipsos World Mental Health Day report, published in October, found that close to half of Singaporeans reported feeling depressed to the point that they felt sad or hopeless almost every day for weeks at a time. 20% say they have felt this way on multiple occasions in the past year. Today, we are worried about many things, but a sense of hopelessness may also be triggered by specific situations, just like what happened to Jin Yi and her father. In 1990, Jin Yi had just graduated from university and started work. Her father was hardworking and earned money to support his kids. The father got to know a German man who was a business partner of his friend and entered a business venture with him. They set up a company producing an innovative product called the Magic Ball. It was the round version of the Rubik's Cube, which was very popular at that time. Jin Yi's father was proud that someone as uneducated as himself would be made the finance director of the company. His German partner assured him that he would not have to do much except endorse payments to vendors. Now and then, the company had cash flow problems. To keep the company going, Jin Yi's father emptied his savings and even borrowed money from relatives to help the company, because he believed in the company's product. However, just a year later, creditors came knocking on his door, and his German partner vanished. He realized he had been scammed. He trusted his German partner fully, but lost everything, close to $1 million. The shock from the scam caused him to spiral into depression. He had a full-blown mental breakdown and was admitted into hospital. Jean E had to care for her father after that. The daughter became the parent. Scams like these are much more common in recent times. It's tough to go through trials when they are caused by others. But it's much harder to go through suffering, blaming ourselves for it, and bearing the shame that we've let our loved ones down. In the midst of our suffering, what does the Bible say about how we should respond? In Romans 5, verses 1 to 2, Paul starts by telling the Roman Christians that because we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. And because of this, there is a hope we can have. With this premise, Paul addresses the suffering of the Roman Christians in verses 3 to 4. He says, "We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope." At the time of Paul's writing, the Jewish Christians had been evicted from their homes by Claudius Caesar and had only recently been allowed to return. Christians in general faced persecution for refusing to worship the Roman gods and emperor. Their families suffered financially because of their faith. Internally, they still struggled with sin. And it is in this context that Paul encourages them in their sufferings. However, when we look around today, we see that not all suffering will lead to hope. Very often, people who are suffering become bitter and angry with God or with other people, and some fall into despair. Is what Paul is saying really attainable? Let's move on to see how this can be so. In verse 5, Paul talks about a hope that will not put us to shame. Let's unpack this statement. What does it mean to have hope without shame? First, hope without shame means that it will not disappoint. What we hope for will definitely come to pass. Some friends will arrange to meet with you for lunch, but just when you're about to step out of the house, they will message you to say, "Oh no, I can't make it." How many of you have friends like these? Okay, very good. So, but Paul says that the hope we have is not like this. God will not suddenly cancel on us. Second, hope without shame means that it's placed in the right thing. In Paul's time, the Greco-Roman culture honors those who participate in emperor worship, but shames those who refuse to do so. This principle of honor and shame can also be found in our Singapore culture. If we do the right thing, like get A's in school, we are honored with awards. But when we fail to meet expectations, we feel ashamed. So Paul is telling the Roman Christians not to be ashamed because their hope is placed in the right thing. But what is this right thing we should have hope in? How can you have hope without shame amid suffering and failure? We will now explore some propositions to this question while we search for a good answer. Proposition 1. You can have hope without shame when God helps you in your situation. After all, if God is our loving Father, what good father will want his children to suffer? On the surface, this train of thought seems to make sense. However, in the scam story, even though Jean E was a believer, God still allowed her family to lose $1 million in the scam. They didn't recover the lost money. And I've realized also in my Christian walk that, yes, while God sometimes does answer our prayers in the way we want him to, but many times he doesn't seem to change our situation. Some of us may have made bad financial decisions and have lost money. Some may be struggling with sickness and have not been healed. We pray for our family member's salvation, but it has been years and we see no progress. It's a mystery why God allows some suffering but intervenes in others. But if we can't have certainty that God will change our tough situations, how can we have hope without shame? Let's explore Proposition 2. You can have hope without shame because you will meet God when you die. Romans 5 verse 2 says that because of what Christ did for us, we have the hope of the glory of God. Just as Romans 3 verse 23 says that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, so now all who are in Christ can have the hope of the glory of God. What does this mean? When we have the hope of the glory of God, we can have hope that when Christ comes again, we will be raised with an incorruptible body and cast away all shame to be honored together with Him. If you are suffering from a physical illness or struggling with mental health or a sin you keep falling into, remember that God has given us the hope of His glory. It is the hope of eternal life and a new resurrected body free from sin, pain, and corruption. It's a hope that no matter how much pain we are in now, God will wipe away every tear from our eyes when He makes all things new. But what should we do in this lifetime? While yes, we should have hope for the life after death, but if we only have hope for the life after death, then our hope doesn't help us in this lifetime. Is there a better way? How can you have hope without shame amid suffering and failure? Romans 5 verse 5 tells us the answer. It says, "And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. We can hope without shame in God's unconditional love." Why? Firstly, God's unconditional love doesn't depend on us. While we were weak, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And in our recent Presbyterian Distinctive Sermon series, we learned about the doctrine of unconditional election, the U in TULIP. There is no way we can turn to God unless God Himself elects us to do so. And in return, we obey God's commandments because we have been saved out of gratitude for our salvation in order to maintain our covenantal relationship with Him. But we are saved by Him not by our own merit, not by our own goodness. When we were infants, we were completely dependent on our parents to bathe us, feed us, and change our diapers. The only thing we could do was to cry when we were hungry and cry when our diapers were full. We couldn't help with the housework. We couldn't help to pay for our expenses. And just like a parent taking care of an infant, God shows us unconditional love while we were still weak, while we were still sinners. It may be hard for some of us to fully comprehend how God can fully accept us just as we are. Maybe we didn't receive this kind of acceptance from our own parents or friends, or maybe our parents required us to act in a certain way or get certain grades before they showed love to us. But God is not like that. We don't need to earn God's love. Even if we fail or make mistakes, God doesn't stop loving us. God's unconditional love doesn't depend on us. Instead, God's unconditional love depends on Him. Romans 5 verse 8 says, "But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And unlike what we hear in many love songs where love is just a feeling, or where people can't help falling in love. God's love can both be felt as well as seen. John Calvin describes the feeling of God's love this way when he comments on Romans 5, verse 5. He says, "This further encourages us to hope, for however we may be beset and seem to be worn out, we do not cease to feel the divine kindness toward us. The true source of all love is the conviction which believers have of the love which God bears them. This is no light persuasion, only which they are tinged, but their minds are thoroughly permeated with it." He then describes how God shows his love in Romans 5, verse 8. He says, "God therefore confirms, he declares his love toward us to be most certain and true, because he did not spare Christ his Son for the sake of the ungodly. Herein is his love manifested, that without being influenced by any love of ours, he first loved us of his own good pleasure." Sometimes parents love their kids, but they are embarrassed to show it. Or they show it subtly. When they meet them, they ask, "Have you eaten?" Or they say, "Don't come home too late, ah." But sometimes it's so subtle that their kids don't know that they are loved. Today, there are many resources to teach us parents how to improve in the way we communicate our love to our kids so that they know that they are loved unconditionally by us. But God is not subtle in his love for us. He tells us often that he loves us through the Bible or through the Holy Spirit who lives in us and fills us with divine assurance. For some of us, because of our past experiences, we find it hard to feel God's love. But even so, he shows us his love by his actions. The ultimate act of love God did was to give his only Son, Jesus, to die for us. Romans 5, verses 9 to 10 says, "Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life." These verses describe a more difficult task followed by a simpler one. If you've run a 42km marathon before, how much more can you run 10km? If you've managed to love your enemies before, how much more can you love your friends? So Paul is saying that it's more difficult to justify us when we were still sinners. How much more will God save us after he has justified us? It's more difficult to reconcile us while we were enemies of God. Now that we have been reconciled, how much more will he save us? God has already shown his love to us by the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus Christ, his Son. How much more will God continue to show love to us? Jin Yi's father, the one who got scammed, lost all hope and became suicidal. However, Jin Yi had a Christian colleague, Teresa, who prayed with her, accompanied her to every lawyer's meeting, and visited her father in hospital together with her. Teresa's cell group members were also praying for this family. One of them received visions from God, which shed light into the situation and guided the family in helping the father. And in one of the visions, which is the picture, the cell group member saw Jin Yi's father locked up in a wooden stock, but with a key next to him. The word the cell group member received was, "Jesus is the only key." With that word from the Lord, Teresa's cell group came to visit Jin Yi's father and pray for him. And Jin Yi's father encountered God's presence in a tangible way. God lifted his depression from him, and a supernatural sense of peace swept over them. The cell group then shared the gospel with him. It had only been 6 months after the scam, but that day, Jin Yi's father accepted Christ. Thereafter, he regained his mental health and started working at a relative's shop. He later enjoyed his retirement by spending time with grandkids. Indeed, Jesus is the only key who could set Jin Yi's father free. He could not help himself out of his great despair and shame. It was only by God's unconditional love and grace that reached out to him and restored him completely. In whatever situation you are in, remember that God loves you unconditionally. Hope without shame in God's unconditional love, which doesn't depend on us, but only depends on Him. Let us pray. Our loving Father, we thank you for your great love which you have shown to us by giving us the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and restoration. As we go through trials and suffering, may you fill us with the divine assurance that no matter what mistakes we make or what happens around us, we are still your beloved children. Help us rest our hope in your great love for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.